It's Sunday morning. Time for the Great Outdoors with Charlie Potter. Brought to you by the all-new Chevy Silverado and ChevyDriveChicago.com on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Good morning. Welcome to the Great Outdoors Show. Charlie Potter, your host here on WGN Radio. And thank you for joining me this morning. We got a great show. Carrie Luft, who's the director of the Center for Conservation Leadership, the Max McGraw Wildlife Foundation, is with us this morning to talk about events taking place on that eastern seaboard town called Washington, D.C., and also some things that are going on in Illinois as we go around the country to do with conservation this morning. So, Carrie, thank you for joining us. I appreciate it. And my first question to you, I guess I should say Happy New Year to you, Carrie, but we already did a New Year's show.
We did.
So my first question to you is, what are you doing now that the goose season is over?
Looking at the sky at the geese flying, still flying around the Chicago area with longing and regret. But it was a wonderful season for geese, and looking forward to many more seasons. We've talked about this before, Charlie, but I personally believe that the goose hunting in the Chicago metropolitan region is among the best in the country. We have a stable flock. The question is getting access, but if you can get access and you're patient, you will be rewarded in the Chicago area.
Well, I know you've done it for a long time, and you've got one of the problems with the Chicago area is you've got to go a ways, but really not as far as people think. I mean, I think, Carrie, I've been certainly within an hour, of course, no traffic at that time of the day, but within an hour of downtown, and you actually have some of the finest goose hunting in the world right there.
Head west of Chicago, head southwest of Chicago. The Braidwood area has long been known for great goose hunting. When it gets cold, that cooling plant attracts a lot of geese. There's more pressure there than in past years, but people can do very, very well. Southwest suburbs, I have friends who hunt in that area. Lake County is good. McHenry County is good. And out west between the Aurora and DeKalb, there are a lot of geese around there. So we really are beneficiaries of that, Charlie. I was lucky enough to hunt on the fabled eastern shore of Maryland this winter, as I do most years. And to be really frank about it, even though the eastern shore has long been mecca for Canada goose hunters, we have better hunting here in the Chicago area.
And it's not a population that's under any kind of threat. In fact, it's growing all the time, for it seems like every time a new shopping center gets put up, they put in a parking lot, it attracts another 1,000 geese to the area. But it is, Carrie, a lot of people don't realize it, and they travel far and wide. Remember, of course, Southern Illinois was the goose mecca for 50 years, and nobody goes to Southern Illinois to hunt geese anymore. They might go for ducks, but they're sure not going for geese. So we're lucky here in Chicago.
Southern Illinois are snow geese.
That's true. Now we have goose hunting in March in Southern Illinois.
Yes.
Well, Carrie, let's start off with a little discussion. The last pick for the cabinet, Secretary of Agriculture, former Governor Sonny Perdue from Georgia. And I've long felt that if we want to affect conservation in America, the Department of Interior should be within the Department of Agriculture. 98% of the landscape where pheasants and ducks and quail are raised and live is on private land. It's the Department of Agriculture that is charged with managing private lands, not the Department of Interior.
Right.
And so for a long time, we've actually had it backwards. And you may recall that early on, waterfowl and birds were actually under the Department of Agriculture. This is, of course, going back which seems like a millennium. But in any event, what is your take on the pick for Secretary of Ag, and how important is it to the future of conservation?
Well, I'll take the second part first, Charlie, because that's a big one. The Ag Secretary is going to oversee the next farm bill, and not many people know this intrinsically, but the farm bill contains some of the most important conservation measures written. The CRP, which is about 30 years old, was the reason why for many years Iowa and the Dakotas had world-class pheasant hunting again. It is not designed to be a wildlife bill, the conservation title of the farm bill, But what happens with that has unbelievable impacts on wildlife. It creates habitat. It creates set-aside lands that are not tilled. More importantly to a general audience, the Farm Bill can provide important protections against soil erosion, nutrient runoff, and nutrient runoff is a major issue in this country because it contaminates drinking water and water downstream. It is a major problem, and without a significant plan in the next Farm Bill to combat nutrient runoff, we are going to see the growth of more dead zones like we see in the hypoxic zone off the coast of the Gulf of Mexico. We're going to see more water pollution. We're going to see more drinking water problems in the Midwest and downstream from the Mississippi River Basin. It is very important that Mr. Perdue oversee a Farm Bill process that takes into account the need to protect our soil and water. And if that happens, good things will happen for our wildlife.
We're visiting with Carrie Lucht, who is the director of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership and really a national expert on issues of conservation and public policy. Carrie, so what kind of a background do you think the new Secretary of Agriculture has to be in line with a major effort to, frankly, clean up our soils, not clean up our soils, reduce soil erosion and clean up our water?
Well, what I like to do when people ask me, what do you think about a cabinet pick or another official, I say, look at the person's record. That is generally the best indicator of what you're going to see going forward, past is prelude, as they say. And for hunters and anglers, you should be very happy because this is somebody who knows ag policy. He was a veterinarian by training. He became a fertilizer salesman, so he knows ag business, and that's an important factor here, Charlie. One of the things that people need to realize when we talk about agriculture is that farmers are good people. They're also good businessmen, and they are not likely to do something simply for the sake of conservation. Asking a farmer to take some of his land out of production with nothing in return is the equivalent of telling a factory owner, hey, just shut down part of your factory. It's the right thing to do. That's not going to happen. So it's important that Governor Perdue understands the business side of agriculture, and he does. His record as governor of Georgia was actually quite good. He had a lot of good ideas. He implemented a comprehensive statewide land conservation plan. That included ideas that were aimed at improving habitat for wildlife and promoting outdoor recreation. He established funds to allow Georgia to purchase more lands, and he encouraged conservation easements through a tax credit. This is all good stuff for the people who do the things we like to do, Charlie. I'm hopeful about this appointment. I think he's got the right ideas. His understanding of business and how government operates is quite good. And this is somebody who really seems to care deeply about ag policy, wildlife, fish, water quality, land access, all the things that the listeners of this show should be caring about.
So it's quite a shift. Well, Tom Vilsack, former governor of Iowa, who certainly knows everything about agriculture, being Iowa is the ag state in America. And he tried, I think, to be positive. And for those of you, Secretary Vilsack was the secretary for the past 8 years of agriculture under the Obama administration. And, Carrie, I give him, actually, as Secretary of Agriculture, I give him pretty high marks for what he tried to do. Unfortunately, he wasn't able to accomplish a great deal in the area of conservation. And I wonder if it wasn't because the House and the Senate and the president were at odds no matter what. If one of them said the sun comes up in the east, the other branch of government would say, no, it comes up in the west. Do you think that dynamic, now that we have a united House, Senate, and presidency, will make it easier to get things done for conservation? Or are we going to still be a stalemate?
In theory, Charlie, this should get it, and this should make it easier. You are absolutely correct, in my estimation, that the gridlock and without assessing blame, we had one party saying that their purpose in life from day one was to block the initiatives of the other party. That was a great, in insight into what we found for 8 years in Washington. Not a whole lot got done. Certainly no overreaching conservation moves got done. And in fact, some of the most important conservation bills, such as the Land and Water Conservation Fund, were sort of shuttled aside. We got a small extension, but not nearly what we in the conservation community would have hoped.
I'd love to take a quick break because we need to pay some bills. And Chevrolet is kind enough to be our sponsor again this year. And they've been the sponsor of the show for a long, long time. In fact, I was telling Craig, our producer, that it's the 17th year I've done the show, and it's the 17th year that Chevrolet has been the sponsor. So let's see, a quick break. And when I come back, I'd like to talk about how the conservation elements of the Farm Bill can be done in a much better fashion than it's been done in the past. We have a great agricultural listening audience across the Midwest here on WGN. And this is an opportunity to bring clean water and improve our soil quality at the same time, really enhance wildlife. So thank you for being with us, Carrie. We'll be back in just a moment on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. And first, a message from your Northwest Indiana and Chicagoland Chevrolet dealers.
It's Charlie Potter and the Great Outdoors on Chicago's very own 720 WGN.
Welcome back to the Great Outdoors Show. Hope you're enjoying our conversation with Carrie Luft, who is director of the McGraw Center of Conservation Leadership, and really a well-known individual in the journalism world and now in the conservation world, as he works on big issues that will make America more economically efficient when it comes to conservation and also help to make Illinois and make America more accountable when it comes to conservation, running the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership. So, Carrie, before we left, you were talking about the potential of having a unified government for the first time in a long time and what it could mean for conservation. And I'd like to go back for a moment to where we started, and that is the Department of Agriculture has more influence on the lands of America than any other entity. It's not the EPA. It's not the Department of Interior. It's the Department of Agriculture. And what kind of a tone, and you and I both have traveled widely across this country in the agricultural sector, what kind of a tone to have a really comprehensive, forward-looking farm bill needs to be set? Because I know we're going to have the regular interests in there, Ducks Unlimited and Pheasants Forever talking about pheasants and ducks, but that doesn't get it done. What needs to be done to bring American agriculture, the individual, business, and conservation together to truly do something that we've not been able to accomplish, which is to reduce our nitrogen loads in our rivers and make it really a lasting impact for the betterment of our environment?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that I think needs to be acknowledged from the get-go is what I alluded to earlier. Farmers are in business, and the Farm Bill is a long process, and what we have asked traditionally farmers to do is to take some of their most vulnerable lands and take them out of production for a long time. This is great when commodity prices aren't so great, but when farmers see an opportunity to make money, they want to make money. So I think we need to be more flexible in our conservation title, maybe shorter terms for set-asides. We need to be really targeting the very most vulnerable lands. We have technology now that allows us to not just say take out a full field of out of production. We can design a riparian corridor, if you will, through a otherwise productive field, ask the farmer to set that aside, and that would have untold benefits for water quality, because just a few yards, really, in relative terms, of native cover, of switchgrass, of good habitat will strain and protect a lot of nutrients from running off into the water stream. That would be a significant benefit, and you'd have these strips of cover running through that would be, you know, pretty idyllic for pheasants and quail. But again, we as sportsmen and outdoors people have to acknowledge that really in the Farm Bill, what we want, which is more birds, more deer, more of the things we like to chase, that's ancillary to the overall policy. And the key is going to be to find something that works for everybody. The other key in getting a Farm Bill passed is a delicate balancing act between urban lawmakers, who will vote for a farm bill if nutrition assistance in the form of food stamps is kept in the bill. That's one of the things that people don't realize. The Ag Department runs food stamps. And the needs of the farmer to have things such as crop insurance, subsidies, et cetera. That has always been the dance. If rural lawmakers get farm supports, they're happy. If urban lawmakers get nutrition assistance for poor urban communities, they're happy. These are where the compromises are. This is where we're going to see the rubber meeting the road, if you will.
So in the couple of minutes we have left, as you now look, the cabinet's in place, and you and I have been talking for over a year, regardless of who was president, what would it mean to the future of not only conservation, but the future of our environment? When you look at the pick for Secretary of Interior, you look at the pick for EPA, you look at the pick for agriculture, you look at what's being said, not so much by the president himself, but by, funny enough, his son, Donald Jr., who really, I believe, is going to be the de facto leader of conservation in America. Without a portfolio, he is the individual the president turns to for advice on conservation. What do you think, if you're sitting around the farm table this morning, or you're someone sitting in Chicago or Detroit or wherever you might be listening this morning, and you love the outdoors, what is your take on the team that's been assembled and what they're saying?
My take on the team that's been assembled is relatively hopeful. And I would say to everyone out there, regardless of who you support in the general election, take a moment to say this is a time for hope rather than despair. I mean, I tend to be an optimist to begin with, Charlie. If you don't like Mr. Trump, hope for the best. If you like him, hope that your hopes are well-founded. We have an opportunity here. Let's see what happens. There are some encouraging things. I'm very pleased that Ryan Zinke, the nominee to be Interior Secretary, is against the transfer of federal lands. We've talked about that on this show before. It would not be a good idea. I am hopeful that Donald Trump Jr.'s love for the outdoors translates into a good, strong policy that will ensure the future of hunting, fishing, and land management in America. However, having said all that, I tell you that none of this happens if the Congress doesn't go along. We have seen that over the past 8 years. There has been a president in place, like him or not, who has had to revert to executive orders to get what he wants done. Congress is a beautiful institution, but it is also recalcitrant and it is hard to manage, and it's not going to be enough just to pin our hopes on a cabinet or one man in the White House, regardless of what side you are on. It's going to take support from the legislative branch of government, and that's where we're going to see some real issues.
And then also what it takes, Kerry, particularly in this communication age, with instant communication, it takes a populace that helps set the direction and keep the pressure on. So, Kerry, that's, I guess, our job on WGN Radio and the Great Outdoors Show, is to talk about the issues so that all of you listening can weigh in on your own on what's important. But I do think that we have a Secretary of Agriculture, which is at the top of the show, is the dominant voice for the future of land management in America, who does come from the kind of background that gives us hope that we will have a policy coming forward that does do good things for the environment. So, Kerry, I thank you for being with us this morning. As always, it's Kerry Luck, the director of the McGraw Center for Conservation Leadership. And this is Charlie Potter on the Outdoor Voice of Chicago and America, 720 WGN. I'll be back next Sunday morning with much more on the Great Outdoors.